This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Tuesday, an election day. And I want the results now. Don't you want the results now? We're sitting here, what is it? It's 7 o'clock Eastern time, and I want to know who won. But we don't know who won. We'll digest it all tomorrow. This is game day. If you're a political person and you are a political person, this is game day. In fact, I got this email here. Jesse, I'm so disgusted and disappointed in the fact that we only had one candidate for three of the four school board seats that were up this election cycle. I'm disgusted our local Republican Central Committee did not do their due diligence, so on and so forth. You are 100% correct. This is how the Marxists work their way into our institutions. It's by people like me who have good intentions but do not act on them. It will not happen again, I assure you. It says his name is Scott. I wanted to read this for a reason. If tomorrow you wake up and it didn't go your way, wherever you are, maybe you're in Washington, New Jersey, New York City, Texas, Virginia, and you wake up tomorrow and it didn't go your way, you're allowed to be sad. You're allowed to be mad. You're allowed to take a day or two and lick your wounds. It's totally fine. That's, believe me, I've licked mine several times. I lost two congressional races. Do you know what that was like? I've told you this before. The second congressional run I had, I lost the first one by 4,000 votes, but they had to recount it for a week because it was so close. The second one I lost, and we found out that night. We had this big watch party at this local hotel. All supporters, the media is all there. Everyone comes out, but we also had rented a couple rooms in the hotel so we could go take a minute, use the bathroom, relax, eat something, and get on the computer with all the campaign people and check the results. And our people, the people who voted for me, they thought we were going to win. And I thought we had a good shot at winning it too. And I remember that moment when it was all these campaign nerds from the RNC, they were there and they were tracking everything. And the numbers came in from the right precinct and this precinct to where they knew it was over. And I remember where he was seated. I remember him looking up at me. I knew right away he didn't even have to say it from the look on his face. But then he said it and said, no, we're done. We're done. They're going to call it now. We're done. And it was a long, long walk. Long walk. Look, it seemed like it was 10 miles. It was probably 200 feet, 300 feet from the hotel room down to the big area and the restaurant and the meeting room where everybody was gathered. And whew, that sucked. Had to stand up straight, button up your suit jacket, make sure you look presentable, put your shoulders back, no crying, no sadness. Take it like a man. Ob takes my arm, and we walk the gauntlet, 200-300 feet. Everyone's happy. No one knows what you know yet, keep in mind. And every face is smiling. Everyone's shaking your hand. Jesse, we're going to do it. Jesse, we're going to. And you just have to keep walking, smile, thank everybody. They deserve that. And you walk up to the podium, and you make the announcement that it's over. All that work, all that time, it's over. So let me tell you, I know the hurt. Believe me. If you wake up tomorrow and there was a race in your area, a prop, a tax thing, whatever, that meant so much to you and you lose it, it's okay to be down. Trust me. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay to be sad. Here's what's not okay. To throw your hands up and say it's over. we can't do it. We can. We can do better the next time and do better the next time and do better the next time. In fact, I'm going to play something for you. Before I get to Democrats buying votes, I'm going to play something for you. This is Eric Holder. Remember, Eric Holder was the Attorney General under Barack Obama. If you want preemptively to keep your motivation, no matter how tonight turns out, no matter what the results are when they roll in tomorrow, I'm going to play for you, Eric Holder. Here's what the communists want when they take power again.
I think, you know, the reality is, and it pains me to say this, I think the Supreme Court is a broken institution. And it's something that has to be, I think, a part of the national conversation in 26 and in 28. What are we going to do about the Supreme Court? And I think that we have to think about, again, talking about the acquisition and the use of power. If there is a Democratic trifecta in 2028, and I think the possibility of that is pretty good, Supreme Court reform is something that has to be considered. Term limits, I think, at a minimum, potentially expanding the court is something I think that also should be considered. We cannot leave in place without a discussion, at least, and I think without substantive reforms being put in place, this Supreme Court as it is presently constituted.
If the communists take power again, they're going to expand the Supreme Court. Do you know why they're going to expand the Supreme Court? Because virtually everything they want is disgusting, evil, and more importantly, unlawful. Since the Supreme Court was changed, since the makeup of it was changed under Donald Trump during his first term, the Supreme Court has time and time again stopped the communists from doing some of the most evil things you can possibly imagine, including firing you from your job if you didn't take an experimental clot shot. Those are the things the communists wants to do. The Supreme Court has stopped them over and over and over and over and over again. And as we've discussed before, the only lesson the communists learned from last time was that they didn't use power hard enough. So if, God forbid, they ever take power again, they're going to throw 15 communist judges on the Supreme Court, and they will end the United States of America. What does that mean for you and me? That means we have to fortify our area in whatever way we can. Do not sit back and rest on your laurels. Do not sit back and convince yourself that we're going to go right from 4 years of Donald Trump to 8 years of J.D. Vance and then 8 years of Ron DeSantis and we're just going to have power forever. Ah! No. They're coming back someday. I don't know when. Hopefully a long time. Hopefully the Democrat Party is in the wilderness for a long time. But they are coming back. What will be the situation in your area when they do? Are you going to spend this time filling sandbags and digging the trenches deeper? Getting ready, putting up barbed wire? Getting ready for that counterattack? Or are we going to act like the war is over? I know you voted today, if you had votes in your area, and many people did. I know you voted today. I know you're sitting around waiting for the results to come in. And I also know that not all the results that roll in here are going to make us happy. Some are going to hurt. But you know what? Let's say New Jersey. Let's go to New Jersey for a moment. What if we wake up tomorrow and Cheryl is the governor of New Jersey? If the Democrat, I'm a Democrat because not everyone's familiar with the race. But what if we wake up tomorrow and the Democrat is governor of New Jersey? Jack lost by a couple points. Does that suck for everyone in New Jersey? Sure. Does it suck for the country itself? Sure. That we even have a chance at New Jersey tells you that people have been putting in the work. It's not just Scott Pressler, but he's been on the ground. Cliff Maloney, there have been all kinds of people, and maybe you have participated in this on the phones, knocking on doors, registering voters. New Jersey is in play. We are making gains in so many places across the United States of America. Let's keep going. Whatever happens, let's keep going. It matters. And if you failed, maybe you're putting too much blame on yourself, but if you failed to get it done, do better the next time. That's it. All right? I didn't mean to go off on that tangent. I meant to go off on Democrats buying votes. The kind of open illegality that is now accepted from the Democrat Party is wild. Hey, Chris, illegality. Why are you rolling your eyes? Why can't you just admit you're a little bit impressed? When I drop these huge words out, you're a little bit impressed. Fred's easy to impress. All you have to do is sprinkle some rough greens on his food. You know what that little snob does now? He won't eat it unless there's rough greens on it. You pour him the dog food. I mean, we go to the pet store and buy him. I don't even know what brand it is, but we get him the dog food that he always wanted. Now, he just sit there and stare at you like, what is this crap? Give me some rough greens. Rough greens is the number one dog supplement in the United States of America for a reason. Dog food is brown because they roast the stuff at such high temperatures, every live nutrient in it is destroyed. There's nothing left. You give your dog a fast food double cheeseburger every meal. Delicious, maybe, but not very nutritious. Rough greens will bring your dog to life in ways you never thought imaginable. A better coat. You got an older dog. They're going to be moving around again. Actual energy, fewer trips to the vet. You want to try it? Free Jumpstart trial bag is available for you. Roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse. Roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Tuesday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Before I get to the Democrats buying votes, I do have to do something. I forgot to do it yesterday, and I meant to do it yesterday. Chris, this is actually for you. Robert De Niro's character gets killed at the end of Heat because he doesn't... Oh, sorry, Chris. Because he chooses to delay his escape, and he ends up getting killed. In case you're just new to the show, I asked Jewish producer Chris last week if he'd seen Heat because I was going to spoil the ending. He begged me to give him until Monday. I told him because I am such a nice person, I would do that. I gave you an extra day because I am such a kind, merciful person. And you apparently, by the look on your face right now, didn't fulfill your obligations. So Robert De Niro's character gets killed. What, Chris? What? You intentionally didn't give me the emails? You mean our wonderful audience sent in emails to spoil it? How did I remember? Corey told me. Behind your back. How's that make you feel, Chris? He even pulled me aside and whispered it so you wouldn't know this was coming because he knew you would do something like turn off the microphone or something. Corey and I conspired together to ruin this movie for you. How does that make you feel, Chris? No, telling us we suck doesn't change anything, Chris. This is designed to be a teaching moment for you. This wasn't out of cruelty. It was not out of cruelty. I know it's a heavy lesson to learn.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
When a dude tells you there's a classic dude movie to watch, and he tells you that he's going to spoil it for you, and he gives you 72 hours to watch it, it's on you from now on, bud. It's on you. What? I know. Chris, I don't want to hear excuses like you have a family, okay? What's more important, family or movies? Learn your priorities. Right? Democrats have priorities. It's buying these people.
And between bills and food, now we're going to have to start making choices.
Carlicia Grice is one of more than 1.4 million North Carolinians who rely on SNAP benefits. She gets about $1,000 a month to feed her large family. But on Saturday, what happens next? It's been the only thing on her mind for the last few days.
Even that's not enough. And we're using cash to pay for food throughout the month. Even going to pantries and just trying to make the ends meet because...
You are using cash to pay for food? Your own money? Whoa! Say it ain't so! You were having to use your own money to buy your food? It drives me up the wall, the sense of entitlement. That's what gets me. That's what gets me. Hey, you know what's funny? Let me pull this out here because I got a couple hilarious emails. I mean, amazing emails. Jesse, hold on. Here it is. This guy, you privileged effing coward. Step away from your security and say that stupid beep to poor people's faces. This is when I was going off on welfare yesterday. Oh, he sent another one. People wouldn't need to be on welfare and food stamps if greedy, privileged beeps like yourself weren't screwing them over. How the beep do you do that that's beneficial to society? You sit jacking your jaws. You look down and make fun of poor people that are struggling. How about you say that beep to my face, you piece of beep? Listen, dork, you're too lazy to get a job. Do you think you're going to do something about me lecturing you about being a blood-sucking leech on welfare? You can't be bothered to go down to Taco Bell and make quesadillas for a few hours a day. Do you think you're going to come find me, you complete and utter nerd? You're too lazy to contribute anything to society. You've been on welfare for over 30 years. That's what I was talking about last night. Ladies on welfare for over 30 years. The lack of shame in that is amazing because I actually have known, I have had multiple friends in my life who have had to go on government assistance at one time or another, multiple times. And you know what every single one of them had in common? Every one of them. They were all so ashamed and embarrassed, and they couldn't wait to get off of it. They didn't brag. But then you have people like this.
The first thing I did was grab my phone and call, and when I heard $0, my chest went into my throat.
Maggie Aragon has been a SNAP recipient for more than three decades. Even with these benefits, she says she also...
The lack of shame. Not even a, I'm sorry at the end. Not even a nod to, I'm trying to make it better. Instead, it's this stuff.
And between bills and food, now we're going to have to start making choices.
Carlicia Grice is one of more than 1.4 million North Carolinians who rely on SNAP benefits. She gets about $1,000 a month to feed her large family. But on Saturday, what happens next? It's been the only thing on her mind for the last few days.
Even that's not enough. And we're using cash to pay for food throughout the month. Like, even going to pantries and just trying to make the ends meet because it's just not meeting. People automatically assume when you get SNAP that you're just lazy. You're just sitting in the house collecting benefits off of taxpayers, but we are taxpayers too. They have to understand that, you know, it's hard, especially when you have a big family. It's hard just to get a gallon of milk that's now like $5. Like, it's ridiculous.
Hard when you have a big family. Huh. Who's responsible for that? Yeah. Anyway, because you and I, we have to have the energy to carry every freeloading mooch in this country on our back, that's why we need chalk in our lives. It's not just that you work for you, for your bills, for your family. You also have to carry millions and millions of freeloaders on your back with you. And that's why you need a male vitality stack or female vitality stack from chalk. You're not just working for you. It's just like you're surrounded by leeches draining you every day. You need testosterone. And if you're drinking estrogen, which you are, you're not going to have enough testosterone. So get a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack from Chalk in your life, in your body, and you will have the energy to carry every blood-sucking leech in this country on your back while you work your second shift trying to make ends meet. Go. Call them. Text them. 50-CHALK-3000. Just say Jesse sent you. Or go to chalk.com/Jesse. We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Stephen Miller He's impressive, continues to be impressive. He really broke this down quite nicely.
The Biden administration, Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas, devised a scheme to fly illegal aliens into the country and then to escort them en masse across the border by the millions and to give them something known as parole, which gives them a work permit, which gives them a social social security number, which gives them access to the voting booth. This was the plan all along, to get them here illegally so they can get free government benefits, get hooked to welfare, and be able to participate in American elections. This was an attack on democracy by the Democrat Party.
Half of migrant households get welfare via U.S.-born children. 21 Democrat states are refusing to turn over illegal immigrant SNAP data, according to the USDA secretary. Massive fraud uncovered in the food stamp program. It's not enough that we have people like this blood-sucking us.
And between bills and food, now we're going to have to start making choices.
It's that the Democrat Party in the United States of America has embarked on a years-long program to bring in as many foreigners into this country as humanly possible and fill up their pantries for them while giving them Social Security numbers. All in an effort to take power. All in an effort to cancel out your vote. All trying to silence the American patriot so they can take power and hold it forever. I get very, very angry with the Republican Party. I have been very angry with them before. I will get angry with them again. I have no doubt about that. The Democrat Party is truly a force for evil. It is evil. And it does break my heart that there are people who are going to wake up tomorrow and they're going to be living underneath Democrat rule. It does.
How do you pay for it? Who's going to end up footing the bill for those programs?
So I'll answer that question by first explaining some of the endorsements that Andrew Cuomo has received.
A million people is the estimate. A million people. That's the estimate on how many people are going to flee New York City. And you know who those million people are going to be? It's going to be the people who can afford to move. It costs money to move. It's expensive. Either they're relocating out to the perbs or they're moving states. But that's tax money they won't have while implementing a communist system that will cost billions and billions and billions of dollars. Did you know that the top 1%, thanks for that, Chris, the top 1% of New York taxpayers pay half the taxes? Where do you think they're going to go? I don't know. It ain't going to be New York City. My word. Horrible. All right, let's do some emails. Jesse, I understood. I don't understand why, if taxes and affordability of everything go from gas to food to housing are primary concerns, how could voters choose more of the same with Mikey Sherrill? That's New Jersey governor, Democrat. We're not talking TDS anymore. Are New Jerseyans as stupid as New York City residents? Says his name is Bill in New Jersey. So Bill is a little frantic about the prospect of Sherrill becoming a Democrat. Well, I touched on this last night, but I'm going to touch it again because it really does help explain things. People, they want to live in a safe area. They want to live in a clean area. They want to live in an area they can afford. That's all people's. All peoples everywhere, they all want those things. They want to be able to afford the finer things or just the basics. They want to live in an area that's clean, and they want to live in an area free of crime. But there are so many places, we'll focus here in America, where that's not the case. New York City, it's super expensive. It's super filthy. It's super full of crime. How could that be when so many people don't want that? They don't want to live that way. They do live that way, and those people choose their government. Human beings have an impossible time separating their choices from their conditions. They just do. There's a story out there, by the way, it's just a political story. He can't do it, and he won't be able to do it, about Texas Governor Greg Abbott putting 100% tariff on New Yorkers moving to Texas. All right, it's a funny little headline. It's not going to happen, but it does bring up an important topic. Why would you even put that out there? What's with the headline? Well, here's what the deal is. For years and years and years and years and years in this country, Democrats have voted Democrat time and time and time again. Local, state, federal, voting Democrat, voting Democrat, voting Democrat, over and over and over and over and over again. Then they've watched as their area fills up with violent crime. They've watched as taxes have gone up, regulations through the roof. Soon you can't afford anything. There are criminals everywhere and everything's dirty. And they wake up and they say, I don't want to live in this squalor anymore. I'll go move someplace where it's affordable and clean and safe. And they pack up their family and they move to Idaho and they promptly start voting Democrat again and again and again and again and again. Why is this a thing? Why? Because accountability for all of us is hard. Isn't it hard to accept the times you've screwed up and the condition you're in is your fault? I find that hard. I don't love it. The many times in my life where I've found myself in a poor situation or having done something terrible, and I do the same thing everyone else does, at least in my mind, who can I blame this on? Surely it's not me. It must be my circumstances, my job, my parents, my wife. It's me. I'm the one who did this. I am the one responsible for my current condition. But that is so hard for all human beings to do. It takes an effort. Frankly, it takes guts. It takes integrity. And most people don't have those things. Democrats most definitely don't have those things. So they will vote Democrat for 20, 30, 40 years and then end up disgusted with where they live, pack it up, move to a red safe area, and start voting Democrat again, promptly bringing all that evil into a new place. It's something that's hard for logical people to understand. People who think logically have a very difficult time understanding it, but it is also human nature. And look, I've said it before. I'm only half joking about it. You could probably never do it constitutionally, but I believe that there should be a record on who you vote for. And look, you can make this universal, Republican and Democrat. When you vote for somebody, we'll call it mayor and governor. We'll just make it mayor and governor. When you vote for a mayor or a governor, you are not allowed to move away from that town or that state for the duration of that person's time in office. So you well-to-do New Yorkers, I'm voting for Ma'am Donnie. I can brag about it to all my girlfriends at our sorority party this weekend. Sure, sure. You're not allowed to leave. And when he closes Rikers Islands and fills up your sorority house with a bunch of rapists, you stay right there. No, 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 no. You're not going back to Daddy's house in the Hamptons. You're not moving back with your uncle in Tennessee. Nope. As long as he's mayor, you stay right where you are. It's time to start enjoying all the fruits of your choices. All right. We'll do some more emails next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Tuesday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We still have to get to making fun of Michelle Obama. We have to get to a little bit of COVID accountability, but we're way behind on emails. Let's dig into some of these. Dear 4 day a week, Kelly, it's not nice. By the way, I'll be gone on Friday. What's going on in Sudan? Why isn't the media talking about it? All right. Love your show. Listen every day. It says his name is Nick. It's a civil war. That's what's going on in Sudan. It's a civil war. And we've been so blessed here for so many years. Obviously, the civil war is not something you lived through. It's not something I lived through. But I would encourage you. I really would. If that period of time in history interests you at all, I would encourage you to learn about it. Maybe read about it, watch a documentary about it. There are endless podcasts on it, I'm sure. But I would encourage you to really, really learn about it. And don't just wade into this North good, South bad. No. Learn about the Civil War. Learn about the background of it, the violence that was taking place in this country beforehand, and then the fighting itself and just how heartbreaking all of it was because everyone's an American. It's all right here. We don't fully appreciate all the wars that have been fought somewhere else. They're always somewhere else, right? It's in Iraq. It's in Afghanistan. It's in Somalia. It's in Kuwait. It's in Vietnam. It's in Germany. It's in Japan. It's not here. War doesn't touch us here. Civil war is the worst thing in the world. And I've tried to explain to people who get frustrated politically, which I totally get, people who say things like, it's time to start shooting. It's time for a civil war. You do not understand what you're asking for at all. You exhaust every single possible remedy before you ever even consider something like that, because civil war is in your neighborhood. It's not in Japan. It's not in Kuwait. It's not in Somalia. It's in your church. It's in your school. It's your husband, your wife, your children, your little league. It's in your grocery store. It's the worst thing in the world. Never, ever, 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 ever wish for it. All right? Bronco. Oh, here we go. What's our rule? What's our rule about the angriest people? It's a very simple statement. What do I always say? The maddest one is always the dumbest one. If you get an email that cusses you out and all the 99.99% of the time, the person will simply be factually wrong about whatever they're angry about. I don't know whether people listen drunk or whatever. Hey, Bronco, the FBI does need to go. So don't you have guests who agree with you? Is your friendship with Dan Bongino affecting your government or your judgment? I'm starting to question your loyalty to the country or friends. I just said the FBI needs to go 10,000 times. How many? Yeah, like Chris said, like 2 days ago. I don't know that there's an organization of any kind that I have railed against and called for its complete elimination of more than the FBI. But again, the maddest one is always the dumbest one. I don't know why. It actually surprises me. I would actually like to catch more heat from things I actually said, but that's almost never the case. The maddest one is the dumbest one. Jeste, you talked about Democrats leaving the black population behind. It made me think of Obama endorsing Spanberger over a black woman, Winsome Earle Sears, after lecturing black men some time ago about voting for black candidates. Democrats only care about black people when it suits them. It's not just black people. It's way beyond that. Democrats only care. Well, Democrats are communists, and all that matters is power. And they will obviously lie to people about that. They will stand in front of you and tell you that, hey, I care about you because you're a woman. I care about you because you're gay. I care about you because you're black. I care about you because I care about the environment. They don't care about any of that. It's all about power. They find different malcontents. They use them as much as they can use them. And when they're done with them, they dump them. I saw a fascinating exchange, actually. John Stewart, who's been a communist for a long time, pretending he's middle of the road, sat down with Joe Manchin, that former senator from the state of West Virginia. Remember, West Virginia was solidly blue for a long time. Then Obama got elected, destroyed the coal industry, or worked as hard as he could to do that. Now West Virginia is solidly red. Here's how the exchange went.
And I said, I can tell you why the union coal miners,
right,
and all the factory workers that I grew up with where they are today, why they switched and started voting Republican. They believe that the Democrat Party in Washington basically spends more resources, effort, and time on able-bodied people that don't work or won't work than you do those who do.
Democrats, they look at a state like West Virginia. They're going to vote blue. They vote blue. It's a union state. Blue, 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 blue. But then they start to take them for granted. They start to bank on those votes instead of trying to earn those votes. Very common problem politically. Start to bank on it. They'll never leave us. It's West Virginia. They're always going to vote for us. In fact, we'll just declare war on them. We'll declare war on their livelihood, on their paycheck, and we'll just bank on them all being there all the time. And then they get left. Democrats do this a lot because there's no genuine care for any part of their constituency. I brought up the black vote because that's the one that's obvious to me. It will take years. It will take decades. But black people will leave the Democrat Party. They already are starting to, but it's just the very beginning. They will leave the Democrat Party because Democrats have found a cheaper, easier date, illegals. They're not going to bother with black people anymore. They would just bring in some more people. Then we don't have to give them anything. $500 Visa card, what's that cost us? Throw them on welfare, we have them forever. Where are we going to put them? Black neighborhood. Put them in the black neighborhoods. That's what they do. It's freaking evil, man. Sick, but that's how they handle it. All right. Let's talk about COVID briefly. I'm not going to get my blood pressure up. I'm going to be totally calm. But there's at least some semblance of COVID accountability out there, and at least that's something. Let's first get you a better employee. It's so hard out there now. Every employer says the same thing, every single one I know. It's just hard to find good people. It's so hard to find good people. Jesse, I can't find good people. Everyone says the same thing. ZipRecruiter is your solution for that. Maybe you're hiring people for seasonal work. Maybe you're looking for a mall Santa. Maybe you're hiring somebody and you need them to be someone who can help your company go to the next level. ZipRecruiter is number one because ZipRecruiter makes it so you don't waste time. You don't have time. You're busy. You can't spend all day sifting through resumes. ZipRecruiter sifts for you. You want to try it for free? Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. You'll probably find somebody the first day. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. All right? COVID. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.